I was talking to a sister the other day who is considering bringing her daughter home to homeschool. And she was talking about making that transition and, you know, just trying to figure out what would be the best options for their family. And of course, she approached me. We talk a lot about our favorite curriculum and how much we love it. And so she was curious. And I recommended that she register for the BJU Press Homeschool National Online Party happening April 15th through the 19th, because I thought it would be instructive for her. I thought it might answer several of her questions. There'll be speakers. Ken Ham will be speaking as a part of this online party. And of course, the homeschool consultants from all across the country will be answering questions. There's so many questions when you start to make transitions away from the things you've always done into the things that you would like to do. And so I want to encourage even you listening. Maybe this is a decision that you've been praying about and you want to get some answers to some questions you've had for a while. Why don't you check out our friends at BJU Press Homeschool? You can go to homeschoolhelp.com/party. That's homeschoolhelp.com/party and register for this online party. There are free giveaways and prizes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun and super informative for people who are praying about the ways that they are going to disciple and educate their kids. Check it out. You have until April 15th to register, but I don't think you're going to want to miss this. homeschoolhelp.com/party.
Welcome to Culture Proof. I'm Will Addison, and you're listening to Wednesdays with Will. I'm happy that you're here with me today. I just have something that God laid on my heart. He brought back to my attention something that I talked about before, but I wanted to revisit it. But before we go there, let me just make sure that I remind you that the Culture Proof Conference is happening July 18th through the 20th. July 18th. Through the 20th. And all the information that you would need to know about the Culture Proof Conference, you can go to cultureproof.net. That's cultureproof.net. We have an amazing lineup of speakers. We have something for the whole family, whether you're a grandparent, a parent, a child, you know, young adult, we have something for you. And so we have to understand how to engage this culture from a biblical point of view, a biblical perspective, because as we always say, we have to rest upon the straight edge of Scripture. Scripture has been given to us, the Bible has been given to us, that we can be secure in our faith, that we can know how to navigate the times that we are living in. And so come to the Culture Proof Conference. It's happening in Bartlett, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis at Faith Baptist Church. And again, all the information that you need, you can go to cultureproof.net. That's cultureproof.net. And you'll see a tab that says Culture Proof 2024. So please make sure you register. You can register today for your whole family. Remember, this is for the whole family. We always had the heart of having the family there, not having to drop the kids off at grandma's house or grandpa's house, but that you all can come. As a matter of fact, bring the grandparents. They can come as well, because there's something for everyone. And so cultureproof.net. And just to let you know, anything cultureproof, anything you need to know, cultureproof.net, cultureproof.net. So today, I want to talk about something that, like I said, I mentioned before and I talked about before, but I feel like it's relevant enough to bring up again. As we navigate living in this world and understanding how to engage the culture, we need to understand what's going on. And as a part of the body of Christ, I believe that we have to be very discerning of what's happening, even with the church. There are portions of the church that have been led astray into like just all types of teaching and things like that. And you wonder, like, how could this happen? Like, how can, you know, the church submit to things like critical race theory? Or how can there be this movement called gay Christianity? Or, you know, how does this happen? You know, how does this happen? Well, I want to submit to you today that there's a spirit of stupor that's upon a large portion of the church, but it's, man, it's on our country. It's on our country. And when we look at the children of Israel, they went through cycles of being delivered in miraculous ways, vowing their allegiance to God, then reneging on those vows, being chastised by God again, and then this pattern would seem to repeat. You can find this in the book of Judges, where God would raise up a judge to help the people. The people would be set free from the bondage that they're in. Then they would go back to sinning, you know, and would be under bondage again. And then he'll raise up another judge. It was a cycle that was repeated. Again, I'm not overly harsh on them, you know, because we do the same thing. I'm not overly harsh on them because we do the same thing. In a lot of ways, we have these cycles in our own lives where God will rescue us and then we forget about God. And man, then there's punishment. And then, you know, God will come to our aid again. And, you know, it's a cycle. And we, as we mature in Christ, that cycle should end. You know, we should be to a point to where, man, that's not the feature of our lives anymore. So I was studying in a particular topic that God laid on my heart pertaining to Romans chapter 12. And because when you read the Bible, you know, you got to make sure you have the proper context. And so there was a word, and the word was therefore. So I figured I needed to go back in chapter 11 to see what the therefore was there for. You know, you go back and understand what's going on. In reading chapter 11, I came to verses 8 through 10. And it says, just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and bend their backs forever. That's Romans chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. And at the moment that I read that, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, this is what's happening in America. And I was curious to where Paul was quoting from, like where was he getting this from in the Old Testament? And so from what I could tell, it was a combination of a couple of scriptures. One is in Isaiah, and this is how the scripture in Isaiah reads in chapter 29, verse 9 through 14. It says, be delayed and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. And so if you remember in Romans chapter 11, 8 through 10, it was a spirit of stupor. But right here it says a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets. So the prophets' eyes have been the seers' eyes have been shut, and he has covered your heads, the seers. The entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, please read this, he will say, I cannot, for it is sealed. So this is a literate person saying that I can't read it. That's a spiritual thing that has happened. This is the doing of God, because the person is literate, but he's saying, man, I can't read it. I can't read it, for it is sealed. Then the book will be given to one who is illiterate, saying, please read this. And he will say, I cannot read. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Now, this was something that the Lord was doing because of the disobedience of the people. He gave them over into this. He was the one that poured over them a spirit of deep sleep. Now, in America, I believe that we're dealing with this, not only just in our country in general, but in the church. There's a spirit of deep sleep that's over this land. It's because of sin. It's because of turning our backs on God. He gives us over to the things that we want to do. And we can't even recognize that this is sinful, that is foolishness that we're living in. And another scripture in Deuteronomy, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2 through 6. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear." So they did see the miracles of God when they were in the land of Egypt, but they didn't see. There's a deeper seeing because of their disobedience. They're murmuring, they're complaining, they're going against God, that they couldn't really see what was going on. And they couldn't hear what was being said. "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God." So we're dealing with a spirit of stupor. We're dealing with a spirit of a deep sleep. And we're dealing with eyes that can't see and the ears that can't hear as a result of sin. When we continue to turn our backs on God, we provoke God, you know, with our wickedness. Think about it. Man, he gives us over to the things that we enjoy, the things that our hearts desire, the lust that's within, And what happens is we lose our ability to discern. We lose our ability to see and to hear. And a matter of fact, we become dull. And the dullness is palpable. It's a dullness that's spiritual, and you recognize it because it's like the things that are happening. It's like, how could we submit to this? How could we be in this condition? How can we not see the righteousness of God and how to stand against wickedness? How are all these things infiltrating the church? It's a spirit of stupor. It's a dullness that's spiritual. So these passages are very interesting in that it was the doing of the Lord to cause blindness and dullness on account of the disobedience and infidelity of the people. So what is a stupor? What does stupor mean? We're talking about a spirit of stupor. Well, it's a condition of greatly dulled or completely suspended sense of sensibility, a chiefly mental condition marked by absence of spontaneous movement, greatly diminished responsiveness to stimulation, and usually impaired consciousness. Greatly diminished responsiveness to stimulation. It's like God allows us to get to a point where we're not even moved. We can't be stimulated by the things that are happening around us. We're just like dull. We're just going through the motions. We're just walking aimlessly. So as a state of extreme apathy, resulting often from stress or shock. So America has been given a spirit of stupor by God. I'm convinced of it. The dullness within the church and what's happening around us and the dullness of the body of believers is palpable. It's palpable.
Hey, the Addisons are preparing for our heavy travel season. We are going to be at the Texas Homeschool Convention in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, April 18th through the 20th. I don't know if you are registered for the Texas Homeschool Conventions. There's two, right? There's one in Houston, Texas, and one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Right. And if you have not attended and you are in that area, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged. I like to say to parents, attend a homeschool conference because you you don't know what you don't know, mm-hmm. but you will walk away blessed. We're looking forward to it. If you want to visit with us, we'll have a booth set up and we'll be podcasting on location.
Yes.
So check us out.
Come, we'll be at the
Texas Homeschool Conventions. You can learn more when you go to our website. Go to cultureproof.net.
We have to consider our country. We have to consider the United States of America and the spiritual significance of why America was created. I believe with everything within me that America was formed to champion the propagation of the gospel worldwide. Worldwide. America was raised up for the purposes of God. I believe that. Sending out missionaries to go into all the nations and teaching, you know, the nations and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Like, America was raised up that the gospel was spread, and that's what happened through America. God raises up nations for a purpose. He raised up Israel to display his love and provide salvation for the world. Israel to display his love, because they were not even a people, right? And the Bible talks about it's not because how strong they were or how beautiful or whatever. It's because of his own sovereign choice. So Israel displays the love of God, and it was the way that salvation was going to be provided to the world. He raised up Egypt to display his power. You remember Pharaoh said, I don't know this God, you know, and Pharaoh thought he was God. But Pharaoh had to be downgraded and God glorified. He raised up Egypt to glorify his power, his name. He raised up Babylon to chastise his people. He brought Judah into, they became captive in Babylon. It was a punishment. You had Jeremiah and other prophets preaching that this was coming. Repent, man, turn away from your wicked ways. And they would not. And so God used Babylon to chastise his people. He raised up Rome to display his sovereignty and to provide a fitting backdrop in which the Savior of the world would be born. And he raised up America that the gospel of Jesus Christ was spread like wildfire to the ends of the earth. See, God is the one that raised up nations and set them down. You know, if a nation turns from God, the Bible says, then God will come and judge that nation. But God is the one that's in control. He is sovereign. Now, America has done much good in the earth, much good. And we can't deny it was built upon biblical principles. If you look at the writings of the founding fathers, you will see that they believed in God and they did based this country upon biblical principles. The founding documents are filled with biblical influence and Christian thought. The acknowledgement of Creator God and references to morality are throughout. Does this mean the nation is perfect? No. We know it's not. We know that there were many things that we can look at and that were flaws in America. Neither are the founding fathers. They were not perfect. But even Israel, whom God birthed himself and made a people, has a history of sinfulness as well. And so the question is, what happens when something created with a purpose either fails to continue in that purpose, or if what is done begins to be perverted? So if they are not doing what they have been created to do, or what they have been created to do has been perverted, because think about it. America was raised up for the propagation of the gospel, you know, as a witness to the world. But now what we're sending from America is debauchery. It's immorality, all types of wickedness. And so that has been perverted to where when we were propagating the gospel and sending forth missionaries, and we still are. But man, but now we've been overrun by sin. See, we can stick out our chest and say things like America's founded on biblical principles. Yes, that's true. And that's true. or even say America is a Christian nation, but this brings about a needed discipline from God when there is a turning away from the standard of God. So we can say all of that, but when we turn away, there has to be judgment. That's punishment. I believe that we're living through judgment even now. If we as a country can make the claim to be a nation under God, if we can realize that our formation was a miracle itself and that it should not have been possible, we also have to recognize that when we disobey, we will be disciplined and even fall under God's judgment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children, not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields what? The peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Wow. Discipline. So how do we think that we can escape discipline if we begin to pervert what we've been created to do? Of we've gone away from the purpose that God has instilled in us. God disciplines nations, and I believe God considers that America was founded with a respect for his word. This is why we have experienced so many years of blessing. But what happens when a nation not only turns from God, but sticks the proverbial finger in the eye of God? How does God respond? Well, let's look to the scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 14 to 20. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it. Now, notice that this is what God is doing. This is what God is doing as punishment. And eliminate from it both human and animal life, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst. By their own righteousness, they could only save themselves, declares the Lord God. If I were to cause vicious animals to pass through the land and they depopulated it, and it became desolate so that no one would pass through it because of the animals, though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not save either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be saved, but the country would be desolate. Or if I were to bring a sword on that country and say, a sword is to pass through the country, and I eliminated human and animal life from it, even though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they would not save either their sons or their daughters, but they alone would be saved. Or if I were to send a plague against the country and pour out my wrath on it in blood to eliminate man and animal from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not save either their sons or their daughter. They would save only themselves by their righteousness. So when a nation that touts its very existence on God's providence turns away from God, over time, God gives them over to their own desires. God is the one that sets nations down. He raises them up. He's the one that's in control. And so we can't be prideful in America and think, well, okay, we're okay. And, you know, we are a strong nation because, you know, from our bootstraps, we've raised ourselves up. Man, God can set us down as quickly as he desires. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in righteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise," listen up, "claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible mankind, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures." We think we're wise in America. We think we're pretty smart. You know, we are a people who can be pretty boastful in what we can do. God has a way of humbling the proud. "Therefore, God gave them up to vile impurity in the lust of their hearts, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." We see this. Idolatry, let's look at our country, it's prevalent. It's prevalent. "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise, the men too abandoned natural relations with women and burned in their desire toward one another. Males with males committing shameful acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error." We see this unfolding in America. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind to do those things that are not proper. People having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unfeeling, and unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." We see this happening in our land, the land that's supposed to be one nation under God. We are thriving in error and in immorality and falsehood. Man, God has given us over to a spirit of stupor because the church can't even identify some of these things that's happening even in our midst. What a world has come in. We can't see it. So, and God gives them a spirit of stupor that even if they wanted to see and hear, they can't. They can't.
Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at The Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. Yes. This is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. July 21st through the 26th, you have the opportunity to join us and our entire family for a week of culture proofing.
Yes, It's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now.
My brother Abraham Hamilton III, he often says that sin makes you stupid. Sin makes you stupid. I have to say amen to that. In addition, abortion, legalizing same-sex marriage, pornography being viewed more in America than in any country in the world, sex trafficking, soaring murder rates and violence, rebellion in the streets, entertainment and media totally given over to depravity and deviancy, churches failing to make disciples, the world's increased influence on the church. This is where we are. All these things have taken over. We have been given over to our own desires. And there's a spirit of stupor. There's a deep sleep that we are dwelling in right now. And you guys all know the headlines about, you know, abortion, or the headlines about same-sex marriage, the headlines about what's going on in the church, the headlines about the violence that's happening in the land. All these things, man, they're happening because of disobedience. God has given us over to our own desires. It's stupor. In the headlines, all over the place, you see it. Indoctrination of children to be sexualized. Teaching children to hate and be rebellious against their parents, to shirk off authority, lawlessness, all types of things. It's evident that we've been given over. We are definitely under the judgment of God as a nation. And when you think of all these issues, we've been lulled to sleep as the people of God. There's a dullness that's not even perceived by a lot of us. Things are happening and we can't discern. Why is it that so many stupid ideas are now being offered and being accepted by the professing church? Where's the discernment? How in the world does something like CRT get a foothold in the household of God? How is something just a few years ago described as a mental health disorder now is something celebrated by culture and some segments of the church? How is that something that was known to be a mental disorder is now celebrated? Why aren't we outraged at the moves to indoctrinate our children? And why are we so lax in our mentality towards the discipleship and the education of our children? These are features of a nation under judgment that has been given a spirit of stupor. To me, there's no other answer. The hope is for repentance. We have to turn to God. And I'm speaking to the Christian. Wholeheartedly turn to God. Do the things that matter. Ask God to sharpen our discernment. Help us not to be stained by the world, so that we're able to see properly what's going on. So the hope is for repentance. When we realize the situation that we are in, and that only God can awaken us, that's when we'll get the solution. That's when we'll get the help that we need. It's the Lord that gives a spirit of stupor. So we have to seek the Lord for an awakening of our senses, to have our sensibilities back, that we can be a people able to discern. Because this is a spiritual matter, we have to seek out the Lord, ask God to help us. God, wake us up. Help us not to be lulled to sleep. Let us not be in a stupor. Lord, help us. We are not Israel here in America. We are not Israel. But God has definitely formed America. He has kept America and has provided for America as one of his own. It's evident throughout history. The only way for this country to be redeemed is for true repentance and turning away from sin. Not only do we confess, but we need to confess and forsake our sin. Look, we are in a stupor right now in America. There are things and conversations that we are having that is amazing to behold when you sit down and you think about the things that are talked about, where you have pedophilia being something that's being softened. They call themselves, you know, minor attracted. No, you're a pedophile. You know, when these things are being softened, these things are being embraced, not only by the surrounding world, but by the church. We have a problem. We have to turn back to God, turn from our wicked ways and repent. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We need you. There's no other way. You know, it's sackcloth and ashes time, man. It's not time for laughing and playing. This is a serious matter. This is a serious matter. If we resist the cultural trends that rival the truth, we will remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.